This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today, hoping that you're going to give us a call because I so look forward to speaking with you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to our lives, to our faith, to the way in which we live with each other, right? Honestly, we just have such a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to come together through this electronic community, as I like to refer to Catholic Radio. So please do give us a call. I've got a toll-free number for you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call. As I said, it's toll-free for you in North America. If you're outside of North America, you can reach us too. This is the number for you to use. Country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We're available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will be able to retrieve your question. Do tell us who you are and where you're located as you are listening to us. We appreciate that very much. And you can text your question to us or comment. You text the letters EWTN to 581-77. That's text the letters EWTN to 581-77. Wait for our response and then put in your comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening, and we will get that retrieved as well. Do know that message and data rates may apply. In all of those ways, we can spend time together. Some of you I know, you just like to listen every day because I go out and about and you tell me, oh, I listen every day. And I'll ask, have you called in? And you will say, no. And I'll say, well, why not? Well, I don't know. Well, please don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. Want to remind you about some of our Women of Grace events coming up. I always do that at the beginning of the program. Who knows, though? I might change. I might do it in the middle someday. Never can tell. But for the moment, we do it this way. And I do want you to get out to our website. Womenofgrace.com has all kinds of great resources for you. Sue Brinkman was with us yesterday. You well know that she provides us with our New Age blog. Nothing quite like it out there in social media land. We have been doing this for numbers and numbers of years. We first began exposing the New Age movement in 1992. When I say we, I'm talking about our apostolic work, our ministry. And we've continued with that ever since. Sue came to us about 10, 11 years ago now. And she gets all of your questions and she answers them in that New Age blog. And as I say, she gives you a full answer. These are full-on articles about every question that comes in. So if you have a question, you can send it to her at newage.womenofgrace.com. But we've got them all up there. We've got over 1,700 questions and answers, all penned by Sue. So that's a true body of work there. And it's all available for you for free. So just get out there. If you have a question, make use of it. We have that resource. It's always there. In addition to that, we've got our television programs archived for you there. Our radio programs are archived for you there. We have our webinars archived for you there. We have all kinds of great offerings. Our retreats are there for you. Not only can you listen to just about all of them, but some of them you can view and you can actually purchase. So you can purchase our studies and our videos on demand. And there's a big, big button there that you click on and it'll take you there and show you what's available to you. But I'm so excited about it because, as I say, some of the retreats are available for you there. We've got three of those up there for you right now. But in addition to that, we've got our Women of Grace Foundational Study available for you that you can retrieve and you can take it in digital form. You can actually even take notes as you're going through it. This makes this particular foundational study accessible to women who live outside of, you know, this North American continent. So if you're in England, if you're in Ireland, if you're in Scotland, if you are with us in any other country and you speak English, it's available for you there in the English. We're working on the Spanish. We should have that up very, very soon for you. Our Young Women of Grace is going up there in the future. Our Moments with Mary might be up there already. Let me just go out there really fast while I'm talking with you. No, that one's not up there, but we're working on it. So we've got the Full of Grace in the English. We've got the Full of Grace in the Spanish without the facilitator's kit. That's the last piece. But the study guide and the book are available for you up there. Llenos de Gracia is there for you. Healed for Holiness, a 7-part on-demand video series, is there for you. At the Foot of Cross, God's Infant Mercy. That is a very beautiful 7-piece on-demand video series with Father Nathan Cromley, Jack Williams, Carrie Gress, and Thomas K. Sullivan. Absolutely beautiful. And then one that we've got for spiritual warfare. We were speaking about the New Age a moment ago. We can't learn too much about this. Smiting Serpents, Battle Strategies for Catholic Women. That is a video series with Father Jose Francisco Sequilla, myself, Kathleen Beckman, Adam Bly, and Susan Brinkman. You can purchase these and keep them right there on your own, in your own computer for ready access anytime that you may need it. Also, if you want to make a study out of it, you can present it to other individuals who can download it and you can come together for discussion. We're hoping to get discussion questions accomplished for these as well. So all kinds of good things available for you at Women of Grace. We're constantly expanding our website, constantly coming up with new offerings for you. And I really, really love when you take advantage of it. Want to share with you too about our daily grace lines. These are beautiful. You can access them right at our website, but we can also send them to you. We can send them to you and you can sign up for those right there at our website. So I'm inviting you to check it out. Do want you to tell all of the young women you know to join us for our Young Women of Grace Advent online event. Say yes, Lord, prepare for Advent with our Blessed Mother. It's going to be a beautiful time for young women. Young women ages 13 on up to 18. That's the market that we're looking for right there. That's the age group. But I'm inviting all of the moms, of course, to accompany their daughters. And I'm inviting women who just want to check these kinds of things out that we're offering. I'm inviting you to join us. It's a free event. It's December the 6th. I invite you to check it out at our website. It's up there under upcoming events. Just click on it. You do have to register for it. I will say that. You do have to register for it because we need to send you the Zoom link so that you can join us on December the 6th. Check that out. Also, check out our Benedicta Institute for Women week-long winter immersive. It is in the Mariology and the Feminine Genius theme for a certification in Catholic women's leadership. This particular offering is the Read of God, Our Lady in Scripture and Devotion. So check that out. We already have women that are signing up for that. So please don't delay. We are offering, just a real beautiful opportunity and surprise for this upcoming year. It's a Jubilee year, and we are acknowledging that Jubilee year through our Benedicta Institute with a lovely, lovely discounted tuition amount to celebrate this year. We should celebrate these years of the church, right? So there you have it. We invite you to get out and check everything there. You hear that music? We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we would love to see our phone lines all lit up. Yes, we would. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. It's 833-288-3986. Matthew Gabensky out there on the phones. Pedro Quilas there in social media. Let us know if you're a first timer. We'll ring the bell. Come. We'll be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace, and I am Johnette Williams. We're happy to be live with you as we are Monday through Friday, right here on the same channel at the same time. We discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm encouraging you to give us a call. We'd love to know how it is that you are living that fullness of life that Jesus Christ intends for you to live. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. It's toll free for you right here in North America. If you're outside of North America, you can call us too. How do you do that? Well, you use this number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. And you can also text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then put in your question. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening to us. And then you send it off and we will receive it. Do know that message and data rates may apply. So I am so happy to share with you today. Did you know that today is a feast of Our Lady? It is. It's November 21st. And what is a November 21st on our calendar? Well, on our Catholic calendar, you will discover that it is a feast or a memorial, really, that celebrates the presentation of Mary. It's a memorial celebrating the presentation of Mary. Now, what is that? Well, you know, tradition tells us that when Mary was at a very young age, she was presented by her mother and father, St. Anne and St. Joachim, to the temple, to be basically raised in the temple. This was an act of gratitude and thanksgiving because St. Anne had difficulty conceiving a child, and she was in her old age, much like St. Elizabeth, whom we read about in Luke's Gospel. She was in her old age when she conceived Our Lady. And this idea of putting a child in the temple to be raised in gratitude to God was not an unusual custom in that day and time. So St. Anne and St. Joachim weren't doing something that was outlandish in any way, shape, or form. Now, we don't read about St. Anne and St. Joachim in sacred scripture, nor do we read about Mary being presented in the temple. The first that we see Our Lady in time is in Luke's Gospel, when the archangel Gabriel comes and greets her with that beautiful salutation, "Hail Mary, full of grace." And she is alluded to, foreshadowed, if you will, and typed in sacred scripture by way of many of the prophetic books, by way of the wisdom books, and also by way of the personages who were women in the Old Testament. Many of them a type of Mary who kind of gave us an inkling of who she would be, though they were not she, and in many cases they were not necessarily women who were unblemished, because only Our Blessed Lady was conceived without the stain of original sin. But all of that being said, the question is, well, then how do we know that these things happened? Well, we know through a number of sources. Of course, sacred scripture does shed light on many of the traditions that we hold to in our Catholic faith. But in addition to that, there are other writings that were available from that time period, or took place, were written very shortly after the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And though they do not comprise the canon of sacred scripture, you're not going to find them in scripture, in many cases, they were reliable in the sense of what the customs of the people were, what the traditions of the people were, and also in giving us some information that probably would have come from individuals who knew the Holy Family, who knew their ancestry, who also, might have even been present to the time when our Lord was born and witnessed and experienced some of what took place then. So they were close to that period of time, and so there were people that they interviewed. And so this tradition has come down to us through one of those types of, I'm going to call them secondary readings. I'm sure that there's a better word for it. I know that they're called apocryphal readings. They are not part of the canon, as I said, but they do give us information there. So it's kind of like a secondary source in that sense. That being said, The one that talks about this, and I'm sure that there are others as well, but the only one that I'm familiar with is the Proto-Evangelium of James. The Proto-Evangelium of James. And so it's there that we find about this tradition. It's a lovely thing to think about. So this is the Memorial Day that we celebrate this beautiful, beautiful reality in the life of our Blessed Mother that we have reason to suspect is true. And, you know, it gets short shrift. It's right before Advent, right? And here in the United States, of course, we celebrate Thanksgiving. So it often doesn't get its due. So I wanted to give it a bit of its due today. And I wanted to give it a bit of its due by reading the second reading from the Office of Readings for this memorial. And it's given to us by St. Augustine. And I loved it. As I read it this morning in my morning prayer, I like to read the Office of Readings, I like to read the first and second reading from the Office of Readings as part of my morning prayer time. And as I was reading this second reading, it just thrilled me. It just thrilled me. And I thought of you, and I thought, well, you know, I really want to share this with everyone today. Some of you may have already read it. If you are accustomed to doing the Liturgy of the Hours, you very well could have read it. But if you're not, well, let me encourage you to do so. But let me just share this with you. This is quite beautiful. I'm going to try to read it in its totality. And I might stop and comment because I might stop and comment as we go through it. But this is from a sermon of St. Augustine, Bishop. He writes, "Stretching out his hand over his disciples, the Lord Christ declared, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father who sent me is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" St. Augustine continues, "I would urge you to ponder these words. Did the Virgin Mary, who believed by faith and conceived by faith, who was chosen one from whom our Savior was born among men, who was created by Christ before Christ was created in her, did she not do the will of the Father? Indeed, the Blessed Mary certainly did the Father's will. And so it was for her a greater thing to have been Christ's disciple than to have been his mother. And she was more blessed in her discipleship than in her motherhood. Hers was the happiness of first bearing in her womb him whom she would obey as her master." Now, listen and see if the words of Scripture do not agree with what I have said. He continues, "The Lord was passing by and crowds were following him. His miracles gave proof of divine power, and a woman cried out, 'Happy is the womb that bore you. Blessed is that womb.' But the Lord, not wishing people to seek happiness in a purely physical relationship, replied, 'More blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" The saint writes, "Mary heard God's word and kept it, and so she is blessed. She kept God's truth in her mind, a nobler thing than carrying his body in her womb." Let me repeat that verse. Or that this particular sentence. It's beautiful. She kept God's truth in her mind, a nobler thing than carrying his body in her womb. He writes, "The truth and the body were both Christ. He was kept in Mary's mind insofar as he is truth. He was carried in her womb insofar as he is man. But what is kept in the mind is of a higher order than what is carried in the womb." Augustine says, "The Virgin Mary is both holy and blessed, and yet the church is greater than she. Mary is a part of the church, a member of the church, a holy and eminent, the most eminent member, but still only a member of the entire body." He writes, "The body undoubtedly is greater than she, one of its members. This body has the Lord for its head, and head and body together make up the whole Christ." This is a great theological insight, and one that you can truly take into your time of prayer. And I would encourage you to do this, to sit and to think about this. Jesus Christ is the head of the mystical body of Christ, but we are the mystical body. St. Louis de Montfort puts it slightly differently. He said, Mary gave birth to the whole Christ, not just the head, but to the whole Christ, inclusive of the mystical body. This makes her mother of the church as well, which St. Augustine will talk about in just a minute. But this makes a statement about you, and it makes a statement about me. We are the mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ corporately, but may I say individually as well. Christ is meant to live in you. He lives in you by way of your baptism in him. He dwells in you by way of the Holy Spirit. He is to be carried within you by way of your incorporation into the mystical reality of his passion, death, and resurrection. It's an incredible thing to sit and contemplate. It's an incredible thing for us to realize about ourselves. This helps us to understand the important part that we play in the plan of God for salvation. And it helps to make sense out of so many scripture passages, such as one of my favorites that I share with you all of the time, Colossians 1, verse 24, for I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. That each one of us, through the sufferings and the contradictions of life that we all experience, in a sense, when united to the passion of Christ, are permitting Christ to suffer in and through us for the sake of the world. That's the way that we're incorporated into his passion. So let me read this again. The body undoubtedly is greater than she, one of its members. This body has the Lord for its head, and head and body together make up the whole Christ. In other words, our head is divine. Our head is God. He writes, now, beloved, give me your whole attention, for you also are members of Christ. It's what we were just talking about. You also are the body of Christ. Consider how you yourselves can be among those of whom the Lord said, here are my mother and my brothers. Do you wonder how you can be the mother of Christ? He himself said, whoever hears and fulfills the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. He writes, as for our being the brothers and sisters of Christ, we can understand this because although there is only one inheritance and Christ is the only son, his mercy would not allow him to remain alone. His mercy would not allow him to remain alone. It was his wish that we too should be heirs of the Father and co-heirs with himself. This is an incredible reality, but it's been the reality from all eternity. It is this reality that God had in his mind from all eternity. And in the fullness of time, God effected it. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman. And as St. Louis de Montfort tells us, and as Augustine is proclaiming in this beautiful sermon that he preached, and we have the happy, happy occasion to be able to share together through the written word, he is telling us that Mary gave birth to the whole Christ. She gave birth to him in the fullness of his humanity, but she also was giving birth to each of those who would come by way of him through his passion, death, and resurrection. He is our head. We are his body. It's amazing. It's incredible. You could spend hours in prayer contemplating this. You would never reach the end of the mystery of it, but your soul would apprehend it on ever so many different levels, especially as our Blessed Mother would take you deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery itself. Now, he concludes with this paragraph. Now, having said that all of you are brothers of Christ, shall I not dare to call you his mother? Much less would I dare to deny his own words. He's referring back to the words that he just said. Tell me how Mary became the mother of Christ, if it was not by giving birth to the members of Christ. You, to whom I am speaking, are the members of Christ. Of whom were you born? Of Mother Church, I hear the reply of your hearts. You became sons of this mother at your baptism. You came to birth then as members of Christ. Now, and I have this underlined in my office. Oh my goodness, this is so remarkable. I mean, this speaks to your mission. This speaks to why it is that you were created. This speaks to who you are to be in the world today. It speaks to the reality of your life. It speaks to the deepest part of your identity. It says this, now you, in your turn, must draw to the font of baptism as many as you possibly can. You became sons when you were born there yourselves. And now, by bringing others to birth in the same way, you have it in your power to become the mothers of Christ. That is incredible. What is your mission? Your mission is to bring others to the baptismal font. Your mission is to be an evangelizer of the word. Your mission is to conceive that soul in a certain way, in your desire for that soul, and then to give birth to that soul by bringing them to the place where that birth is given to them, which is the baptismal font. In other words, you are to cooperate with Christ in his saving mission. You are to bring others to the fullness of life in him, to the fullness of God life in them, to the fullness of that life on high that Christ wants all of us to know. I just think that is wonderful. And I'm just so happy that I had this glorious opportunity to share this beautiful sermon of St. Augustine's with you on this memorial of the presentation of Mary. What a beautiful gift we have. Now, you know, Mary is a type of the church. In other words, Mary points to the church. And so what is true of Mary is true of the church. And what is true of the church is meant to be true for you. It's so lovely. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is the faith, folks. This is the faith. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here. Call. I want to hear from you today. How did this rest with you? Give us a buzz.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted, totally delighted to be with you today. But I'm certainly encouraging you to give us a call here because I love to share with you, and I love to hear from you. I love when you share with me. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. I've got a bell here. I like to ring it if you're a first-time caller or if you're a first-time submitter. So I'm encouraging you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and use the chat feature there. Let us know if you're a first-time caller or submitter, and I'll ring that bell. You can also text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put your question or comment in there. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening, and do know that message and data rates may apply. You know, have you ever thought about becoming a media missionary, sharing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ with others by way of helping them to watch or know about EWTN? Well, you know, what our EWTN media missionaries do is to prayerfully take EWTN to parishes and the community through the print and electronic media that we provide for you to do so. You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. What a great way to evangelize. And I know some people that have been media missionaries for decades now. We're always happy to add to the ranks. So how do you do it? Well, just just get out to visit, just go out to EWTNmissionaries.com. That's EWTNmissionaries.com today. And, you know, find out all about it, sign up for it. We'll send you the stuff. And golly gee, you will be off to the races. Yes, you will. So I do invite you to check all of that out. In the meantime, I'm inviting you to call. Again, that toll-free number for you is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Alan is with us. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening to us via the EWTN app, yet another way that you can join us. And he's a first-time caller, so I get to start right off by ringing my bell. Thank you, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, good, good, good. What do you want to share with us today?
Well, I mentioned to you, screener, that November 21st, 1954, I was born. So I turned 70 today.
Well, congratulations to you. Happy birthday.
You. Now, all these years, I've looked at the Catholic calendar, and I've wondered what BVM, Blessed Virgin Mary, was, but I never made much effort until a couple years ago. And I learned a little bit, but just listening to this morning, to the morning show and how to your show, I finally understand and appreciate this important part of Mary's life.
Well, that makes me so glad, Alan. I mean, and I think it's quite special that you were born on a Memorial Day of Our Blessed Lady. My guess is that though you really were not well acquainted with her, she was very well acquainted with you. And when we talk about this spiritual maternity of Our Lady, you know, we sometimes just want to think about it in a very corporate way, you know, for all believers. But the fact of the matter is, Mary is our spiritual mother individually and particularly. So she is your spiritual mother. And through her spiritual maternity, through her spiritual beatitude towards you, she's brought you along until this happy moment where you have begun to understand more fully who she is and who our Lord would have her be in your life. You know, Mary is not preemptive. She's not one that goes out and moves on her own. She is always submissive to the will of God. She is always submissive to what her duty and responsibility is by way of God's will for her. And so in a very special way, I think it's a birthday present from Our Lady today. And and take that seriously, that she's brought you to hear these two programs back to back that help for you to appreciate her a little bit more fully. So, you know, reach out to her, ask for her maternal intercession, incorporate her into your life of prayer. She will never replace her son. She will only lead you to her son. So you've made me very, very happy, Alan. You know, I'm just rejoicing in my heart for you and rejoicing in my heart that this is your birthday and rejoicing in my heart that you've had this, I think, kiss from heaven today.
Yes, 1954 was a Marian year, I believe, so that makes it double.
Yes, it does.
Johnette, thanks for all you do. I hope you're a doctor of the church someday.
Oh, dear gosh. Oh, I'm sorry. You're making me laugh. Oh, Alan, God bless you. You're so very, very sweet, but that's not likely to happen.
I'll be praying for it.
Thank you, Alan. God bless you. Okay. And happy
and
birthday
you
again. Oh, my
Thank
goodness.
You.
God bless you. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How sweet is that? It's just absolutely lovely. You know, just so much that I could share with you about our mother. You know, I love her. I talk about her all of the time because as I'm talking about her, I'm talking about God's goodness. I'm talking about God's mercy. I'm talking about his love for us. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus himself, get this, you know, Jesus, of course, was not Jesus until he took on flesh, right? But he is the Word of God. He is true God and true man, the Word of God through whom God created the world, you know? The Word of God, he speaks the Word and it comes into being, right? This one chose his own mother. This one, from outside of time and space, orchestrated precisely everything about his mother. Another type of Our Lady is the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. I think I shared this with you the other day. If you start reading at Exodus 25 and you read to 31, you'll see how particularly God created this Ark. Well, Our Lady is constructed even more wonderfully, even more gloriously than that, because she's going to contain within herself the fullness of God. The God-man is going to take up residence within her. So, you know, when you consider that, And this is your mother who wants to do everything for you, just as she did everything for her son. So, you know, you've got to think of it this way. If our Blessed Lady was good enough for Jesus, is she not good enough for you? Wouldn't it be the utter hubris and arrogance of heart and mind and soul to say no? To say I should turn my back on her? I mean, wouldn't that be, I mean, can you imagine how that would pierce the heart of our Lord? That you would reject his mother? The one that he fashioned? The one whose womb he inhabited? The one whom he obeyed in his life on earth? The one who continues to fulfill the divine and holy pleasure of God? This one whom he still honors as true God and true man? That we would not honor her? Wouldn't that be just an utter suffering for our Lord? I just think that it would be. You know, it's the most incredible reality that God the Father would invite us into the very reality of our Blessed Lady. What a great gift is she to us? You know, what a great gift she is meant to be to us. And she's only ever going to lead us to her son. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. Our Blessed Lady wants to obtain for you every spiritual blessing in the heavens. She is the mediatrix of all grace, and she is the distributrix of all grace. It's just an amazing thing. Here's a beautiful paragraph that is contained in True Devotion to Mary, given to us by St. Louis de Montfort. He writes this: I here turn for one moment to thee, O sweet Jesus, to complain lovingly to thy divine majesty that the greater part of Christians, even the most learned, do not know the necessary union there is between thee and thy holy mother. Thou, Lord, art always with Mary, and Mary is always with thee, and she cannot be without thee, else she would cease to be what she is. She is so transformed into thee by grace that she lives no more. She is as though she were not. It is thou only, my Jesus, who livest and reignest in her more perfectly than in all the angels and the blessed. Ah, if we only knew the glory and the love which thou receivest in this admirable creature, we should have very different thoughts, both of thee and her, from what we have now. She is so intimately united with thee that it were easier to separate the light from the sun, the heat from the fire. Nay, it were easier to separate from thee all the angels and the saints than the divine Mary, because she loves thee more ardently and glorifies thee more perfectly than all the other creatures put together. Now, I want to stop here. And I want to explain the use of the word divine. We have to understand that when this word is used in spiritual writing, when it is not in reference to the one who is the divine, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it is not capitalized. It is a small d. And what it is an indication of the divine life in that person. When we say this is absolutely divine, what we're really saying is that this is something that is so good, there is the essence of God in it. All right? And in St. Louis' treatise, that D is not capitalized. It is a small d. So what this is an adjective that describes the reality of God in Mary. Now, do you know that you too are called to be divine with a small d? Do you realize that you are called to be so full of grace that there is more of the God life in you than your own life in you? Meaning that everything about you has been so surrendered to him that he has his free will. He has his good pleasure with you. That like Our Lady, you are conformed to his word. That you die to self for the sake of him. Are you aware of the fact that you are called to this glory? I hope so. Because I'll tell you, all of heaven desires it for you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit desires it for you. Our Blessed Lady makes intercession before God for this reality for you. Why is that? Because you are meant to be the face of God on the earth today, just as St. Augustine told us. You know, the life of Christ is to reign in us so greatly that wherever we go, he is seen in us. We radiate him. And everything about us that is us is edified by him. In other words, it's set on fire. It's set on the fire with the Holy Spirit. And it becomes something greater than it would be without that infusion of the divine life into it. He takes your natural gifts and talents and he supernaturalizes them. You give him your wee bit and he gives back to you beyond measure. You know, recently we had the gospel reading. It was the other day. It must have been Monday. We had the gospel reading about the talents, you know, and the one who didn't invest his talent was excoriated by God. Well, you know, think about that in the context of what we're talking about here. God has invested talent in you. What is that talent? Is it something that is yours? You know, is it something that you bought? Is it something that you paid for? Is it something that you deserved? No. The talent that you have is actually, what do I want to say? It's a reflection of the very talent of God. It's a reflection, a manifestation of some aspect of God's own life, right? He's given it to you. It's a gift. It's yours by way of God's ordaining that it should be so. And he invests it in you, just like that whoever he was, you know, however you picture that the man in that gospel that had those talents. He invested the talent in his servants. He gave them a portion of his own wealth. God has given you a portion of his own wealth. Now, the one who did nothing with it, the one who just let it take up, you know, I don't know, you know, just stuck it into his bank vault and let it sit there, he gets excoriated by God. Because what does God want us to do? He wants us to invest ourselves in the talent that he's given. And how do we invest ourselves in it? What does that mean exactly? Well, obviously, it means that we live the talent. But to invest ourselves in it means to die to that aspect of the God life that is in us, that talent in and of itself might become supernaturalized. Right? Take the lives of the saints, for example. Well, take St. Augustine, for example. St. Augustine was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. He was a brilliant orator. He had this gift and talent that was given to him by God, and he was using that gift and talent for his own means. He wanted to rise high. He wanted to rise high in society, high in the culture. He wanted to rise high in the sect to which he belonged, the Manichaeans, a heretical sect. He wanted notoriety. He wanted all of the pleasures of the world. And through the prayers of his mother, and, you know, I'm sure many other saints in heaven, inclusive of Our Blessed Lady. How could he write so beautifully about her if Our Blessed Mother wasn't making intercession for him? He had this moment of deep conversion. He took those same gifts and talents that he had and he died to self in them. He died to his own want, his own desire in that. And he let the Lord be Lord of it all. He invested in that talent, right? By dying to self. And what happened? God inhabited that talent. God inhabited it. And through the words that he spoke and the words that he wrote, he is a doctor of the church, Alan. He is a doctor of the church. God desires the same for you. He desires the same for me. What are we doing with our gifts and talents? Are we using them for the glory and honor of God? Now, practically speaking, does this mean that everybody's called to apostolic life in the sense of that being the means that he wants to use for that person specifically? In other words, if you have the gift of writing, does he want you to relinquish that gift to him, as St. Augustine did? Well, yes. So that through what it is that you write, he is made present in some way. If you have the healing arts, does God want you to invest that talent in him? Yes. Perhaps you are a doctor, or perhaps you are a nurse listening today. Perhaps you're a nurse practitioner. Perhaps you work in another capacity within the healthcare industry. He wants you to invest yourself into that position so that he might be you, or he might be in you, working and operating through you for the sake of the people that you are interacting with. That's the way you do it. So can you not be in the secular professions? Does it have to be the professions that are specified and designated for evangelization in a way through liturgical action? Well, not necessarily, but maybe so. But I can tell you that in every aspect of the life that we live, through the state in life that God's entrusted to us, through the gifts and talents that he's given to us, we are called to make him present. And in that way, we are Marian. In that way, we are bringing Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. It's just an amazing thing. It's just an amazing gift. You're called to it. I'm called to it. Our Blessed Mother will help us accomplish it. I can tell you she will. I know that to be true in my own life. She will help us. She will be there. She will make up for our lack, just as she made up for the lack of little Juan Dieguito. Little Juan Diego, when he came with those roses, she arranged them beautifully. Beautifully did she arrange them in his stoma. He who could not speak was able to speak. He who was sent on mission was able to accomplish the mission, as difficult as it was, because Our Lady was with him through it all. And she will be with you through it all as well. Let's go to Lori. Lori is calling us from Oklahoma City today, listening to us via Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Jeanette. I have a little hoarse voice here. Sorry.
I know. You've been crying, sweetheart.
I just wanted to tell you, it's my birthday too, so I had to call in after Alan did.
Yes.
But last week when you were talking to some gentleman about their addiction or whatever, and then you said I was going to call in, then my daughter had said some hurtful things that I had called before about my daughter, and you prayed so hard for her, and she did so well the next day and whatever. But so you said that you want to pray for the infusion, the marinating of their heart and soul with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I loved when you said that. It was so beautiful.
Well, all credit to Father Urbain. No, I just said all credit to Father Urbain, who said it to me in confession.
Okay. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. It just touched my heart so well. But my daughter said that she's a tutor, and she's had a lot of anxiety and depression and didn't do well after a dog got attacked. And then some men from work got kind of sexually attacked her, verbally. That really hurt her. And then she was in a down place for the last 2 years. And then her therapist all blamed us for everything. And she said, this girl that she's tutoring, she said, I don't get any emotional support from my family at all. I'm as bad as you are. You have a mother who's a drug addict. And it hurt me so bad. I was like, how can you compare me to a drug addict? I'm a health professional too. And I feel like I've nurtured her and everything, maybe, too much, over the years, but so it just really hurts,
Sure. I'm so sorry, sweetheart. Let me just share something with you. And this is the fact of the matter. Oftentimes when we're praying for someone that we love that is living a life that is dissolute, or a life that is complicated by emotional issues and complicated by circumstances that have happened to them, and we start praying, what happens is that things get worse before things get better. I want to say that. Why is that? Because when we are riddled with emotional wounds, the evil one can get into those wounds. He doesn't cause the emotional wounds. He will perhaps tempt people to cause things to happen that will create emotional wounds for us. But, you know, he is not the instigator of it in that sense. But what he does do is he'll live in those wounds. And then when prayer starts to happen and we are calling upon the power of heaven to be effective in the life of our loved one, he gets threatened. And so he doubles down his effort. He gets threatened and he doubles down his effort. And so this is really, it can be taken as a positive sign when things get worse that our prayer is actually being effective. Now, at this point in time, what happens is people will get discouraged. They'll get blue. Sometimes what happens is they will give up and they will despair. But that's exactly what the evil one wants. Because when we stop praying, he can regain any territory that he lost. So for you, sweetheart, keep praying. Keep praying. If you want me to pray with you tomorrow, call in tomorrow and I will pray with you, okay? Because we're coming to the close of the show. But keep praying. That's the word of encouragement that I have for you today. Keep praying. And I see that on top of all of this, your dog died today. This is not the merriest of birthdays. But the Lord still wants it to be the happiest because he's with you in it and he's granted you another year of life. And I praise and thank him that he's given you another year of life, Lori. And as you begin this other year of life, know that he's with you in all things. God bless you, sweetheart, and God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.